The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is based on the Gospel lesson, John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus had said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee. What a blessing for Canaan. Jesus, from whom all blessings flow, came there. Jesus is the Lord of life and death, the Saviour, the prophet whose words are spirit and life, the life of the world, in whom salvation is for all, and Jesus visited Cana. How many of Cana's inhabitants realised the heavenly blessing of having Jesus in their midst? Not very many. But one person from far away, Capernaum, comes. It was about a 7-hour journey. This is a nobleman, an officer of Herod's government. He journeys to Cana to find the Lord and goes home rejoicing. So today, let us follow the nobleman. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, realise your helplessness. Jesus visited Cana again, the scene of his first miracle in Galilee. He may have stopped to visit the newly married couple. Clearly, the official knew about or had himself seen some of Jesus' miracles. He was probably among the Jews who had seen what Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover. However, for many of those Jews, Jesus was becoming a man they could go to when they needed some wondrous deed. But Jesus received little honour as a prophet. Our text begins, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee. He went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." The son of the nobleman was sick. He was at the point of death. Picture for yourself the anxiety of the father and his frantic endeavours to keep his son from dying. Nothing helps. He despairs of all human knowledge and power. He is at his wit's end. He realises his helplessness. He knows mere man is powerless when confronted with death. Follow the nobleman. Realise your helplessness. This is very difficult for natural man. Man is captive of Satan's lie, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. "For God knows that in the day of you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God." People refuse to acknowledge their utter helplessness. To their pride, this sort of helplessness is offensive. Even though every catastrophe, every cemetery, demonstrates people's helplessness, they refuse to realise it. The proud spirit must be broken, and only the law of God will do that. Why not be reasonable? Would not a sober reflection teach us that we are helpless in the face of death? And again, why is there death? From where comes sickness and death? Or what is the cause of sickness and death? Why not listen to the truth? Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. Sin is the cause of sickness and death. Man is a helpless subject of disease and death because he is a sinner. He has rejected God. Thus he is left the only source of life and happiness. Why not realise it and ask, what must I do to be saved? Secondly, turn to the proper person. The answer is follow the nobleman and turn to the proper person. We read in our text, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. The nobleman had heard of Jesus. In Cana, Jesus had turned water into wine. Thereby Jesus had revealed his glory and his divine majesty. The nobleman reasoned, if this Jesus was able to turn water into wine, then he is likewise able to help me to heal my child. He is a proper person to appeal to. Note that when Jesus responded to the official, he included the term, you people. The many Galilean Jews around him and scolded them. Jesus said in effect, you people are attracted by my works, but you do not know me as a saviour. You'll never believe if you do not get beyond just my works. Indirectly, the rebuke was also an invitation to listen to Jesus and believe. The royal official still trusted that Jesus could save his child and urged him to come down to his home before it was too late. Follow the nobleman. Many people, having realised their helplessness, have looked around for help, but very often in the wrong place. They imagine that they can escape the consequences of their sins by self-torture, by turning over another leaf, or by correcting their faults and so on. However, they are contradicting themselves. Realising their helplessness, they still attempt to help themselves. Logical thinking cannot be expected from those who are entangled in Satan's lie. Some people even turn to Jesus, but in a proud and bitter spirit, like the criminal who scornfully said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Rather, let us follow the nobleman and go to Jesus with our great trouble in a humble spirit. We have heard of him. The Bible tells us who he is, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary. The Bible tells us what Jesus did, his suffering and dying for us, and how he tenderly loves us, that he refuses nobody, not even the greatest sinner. Indeed, the God-man, the chosen Redeemer, the merciful Saviour, is the proper person to turn to. Thirdly, trust Jesus' word. Therefore, follow the nobleman and trust Jesus' word. We read in our text, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. The words of the nobleman, sir, come down before my child dies, may have shown a weakness in his trust, suggesting that Jesus had to go to the boy in order to heal him. But Jesus worked to strengthen his faith. He simply said, go your way, your son lives. Jesus did not move from the spot. He did not even offer a sign or a wonder. He just gave the man his word. Jesus said to the nobleman, go your way, your son lives. That is all Jesus did. He did not go with the man to his home. Jesus simply said, your son lives. The nobleman did not and could not see whether this word of Jesus had the desired result. And yet the man believed the word. Jesus was to him almighty and trustworthy. He doubted neither his willingness nor his ability to help. He went his way fully convinced that his son lived. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." The nobleman found, after an investigation, that his conviction was correct, and his faith was strengthened and purified. He saw that he had been very foolish to think that it would be necessary to have Jesus at his home, as though the Lord, the Almighty, could not render help at a distance. Now he knew better. He trusted Jesus' word. Good news doesn't wait to be discovered. Before the royal official reached home to see his son, his servants came out to tell him the child was better. The relieved man inquired at what time his son began to recover, and their response confirmed the words and power of Jesus. "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The boy was in that moment out of danger. The servants had left him fully recovered. The father knew that was the very time when Jesus told him, "Your son lives." No longer a sign seeker, the man believed. He shared the message of Jesus with the servants and all his household, and they too believed. The last time Jesus came from Judea to Galilee, he changed water into wine at Cana. This time, he again came to Cana and performed a miracle. Follow the nobleman. If a rich and trustworthy man gives you a checkbook and tells you that he has deposited $1,000 in your name, then you are glad. You have not seen him doing it, you have not seen the money, but you know the man to be rich and trustworthy. Therefore, you joyfully write your checks. Jesus has taken away your sins. He has died for you. He has forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for you. He is the God-man, mighty and willing to save. He certainly is trustworthy. He tells you in the gospel that there is salvation for you. He invites you to accept it. He calls you in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And by his word he offers that rest, pardon, forgiveness, life and happiness. You cannot see it nor feel it. You cannot verify it by observation. But you have Jesus' word for it, and he is trustworthy. The thing for us to do is simply to accept it by trusting his word and then gladly and rejoicingly go our way through life. Even in the face of death, we may proclaim, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us close with the words of the hymnist, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, who unto the Saviour for refuge have fled? Fear not, he is with thee, O be not dismayed, for he is thy God, and will still give thee aid. He'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by his righteous, omnipotent hand." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.